Hi friends, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Mama.Wife Life podcast. I am your hostess, Brittany. Each week we will be gabbing, bragging, and unpacking about life. So grab yourself a drink, get yourself comfortable, and get ready to be inspired. So, it is, what, the 29th of December now, and we have officially survived Christmas, which is fantastic. We got our bellies full, we got spoiled with many beautiful gifts, and we got to spend time with family, and all in all, it was fantastic. I hope everybody else had a wonderful holiday and is getting geared up for the new year. So this episode is about being a mom of two under two and having to juggle breastfeeding a newborn and tandem feeding two babies and having to start a daycare up again when my youngest was like 3 months old, 4 months old. So I wanted to touch on when I got pregnant with my youngest. I didn't know that when I got pregnant again, that my milk supply would basically start to dwindle away. And I remember I was putting my oldest to bed. I was laying down with him and I was like nursing him, and he was going from side to side and he was getting really agitated and frustrated, and I didn't understand what was going on. And so he finally fell asleep. He just kind of rolled over after crying and getting all upset. He just kind of rolled over and had enough of me, and he went to sleep. And at that point, my husband was home and he was in the bathroom having a shower. And I went in and I told him that I think that my milk is gone. And he was like, I remember he pulled back the curtain and he was like, "What? What do you mean your milk's gone?" And I was like, my breast milk is gone. I don't have any. Like, Mason can't nurse. Like, there's nothing there. He's getting really agitated and frustrated. And it's not that he's teething or he's tired. Like, it's a different level of frustration. And so after talking to my doula, it turns out that when you are pregnant, you can try to keep your milk in as long as you want. But ultimately, you can't fight Mother Nature, and Mother Nature will always win. So 17 weeks, my milk supply basically disappeared. And then my colostrum, I think that's how you say it, colostrum, I'm not sure. Anyways, it came in at around 22 weeks. So that was beneficial. And the entire time of my pregnancy, even when I dried up, I dry nursed my oldest just because he didn't do any bottles or do any soothers or any type of thing like that. So the only thing that he had to soothe him if he hurt himself or if he was tired or cranky or to go to sleep was to breastfeed. So over time and through my pregnancy, he ended up stopping the breastfeeding to sleep. And it was more like he wanted to just kind of like come check in and like nurse and then carry on with his day. And it kind of was bittersweet because, like I said, I wasn't prepared for it. But it ended up helping me to push through, because I remember breastfeeding him and being pregnant and just being like, my skin is going to crawl off my body, because I had such bad nursing aversion to my oldest. It was next level. It was something I've never experienced. I was just like, oh my God, I can't deal with this. But I pushed through with it because I was like, you know, it'll benefit me. It'll benefit him. And in my like end goal was, if I can breastfeed both of them, it wouldn't be such a big transition for my oldest if he was a part of breastfeeding with his youngest. And so I'll touch on that topic in a little bit. So I ended up having both of my children by C-section. And I remember joking to my husband that, yeah, I had really hard labors with both. Well, actually, that's a lie. I had hard labors with my first. Second, I had no labor because I had to plan when he was coming. But with my first, I had a 5-day labor with him. It was horrendous. My feet still hurt. Three years later, it still hurt. They are like permanently bruised from walking around my house, for days upon days trying to get labor started. And I joked to my husband saying that, you know, I had such a difficult time getting my baby earth side that I've been blessed with being able to breastfeed without any problems, which I've been lucky. I haven't had any health problems, health concerns, any issues like that, because, well, when I had my oldest, I had to go and I had to get staples after. So when I had him, instead of just having the baby and then they would just like sew you back up, it was they sewed me back up, but they also put staples in me, which was just horrendous. It was so bad. I, like, 10 out of 10, I do not recommend staples if you're going to have a C-section. But with my youngest, I had to plan because I did 2 under 2, right? So when you do 2 under 2, you can't just go and have a baby all willy-nilly like I was hoping to. They were very concerned about me rupturing and bleeding out and something horrific happening. So I had to have like a plan in place. I was not allowed to do a home birth. That's what I wanted to do with my first. And because it just didn't happen and I ended up having a C-section, it was either C-section or hospital birth. And so I made the date for my youngest's birthday, which was the 24th of May. And it was terrifying. I remember being so like stressed out about the whole thing. And it was so much better and easier than my first C-section. It was easy. I walked in, they told me what was going on, and then they gave me a spinal versus a epidural, which I had with my first. When they were running the blade across my stomach, I could feel it. Like, I could feel them going across my stomach. So it took them a few tries to get me numb enough to get my oldest out, because I was like, I can feel that. I can feel your blade going across my stomach. Like, that's a hard no. Like, dude, no, you're not cutting me. With my second, they gave me a spinal and I didn't feel anything. And it's probably for the better that I had a C-section with him, because my oldest was 8'10", but my youngest was 10'8". Like, he was a big baby. So it was probably for the better that I had a C-section, because I honestly could not imagine having to push him out. So, sorry, I just had a drink of water. With my youngest, I went in, I did my stuff. They cauterized me. So it, like, when I came out of the surgery room and I looked, my scar just like, or my incision looked like a scar. It didn't look like I was cut by any means, which was mind blowing. I was like, what? Did they really take a baby out of me? Like, what? What? Like, it was crazy. So, and I have a picture of the first time that my oldest met his little brother. There's a picture of me and I'm in the hospital bed and I'm breastfeeding one as well as the other. And it was such a wonderful experience breastfeeding both of my children at the same time for an extended period of time, because it was a bonding experience. So everything that we did, like, we co-sleep, we co-bath, we co-eat, like, they're like, we are always together for all of the things. Like, I can't even poop alone, okay, without an audience of some sort. Most likely, it's usually both kids have to be in there showing me a toy or reading me a book or asking me why the sky is blue and this, like, it's just never ending, right? So we made sure that Mason was always involved. So, like, instead of having baths, I would get, like, because you can't bath with a C-section, you have to have a shower. And so I had to get like a water sling and to wear Bronson. And then Mason would have a shower with us. And so I found it to be a really easy transition from being a singleton to having like a sibling with him. So that was fantastic. And to be honest, he truly helped with getting my milk in, because when I had my first, I remember getting very engorged and I was really uncomfortable and I had just so much milk. And with my Second, having his older brother there, he at that point is like a professional nurser. He's like, I know what I'm doing, Mom. I can get this milk. And I had no issues. Now, the one thing that I must say, having a toddler who's breastfeeding that was basically weaned, right? Like, he wasn't nursing to go to sleep because he would just roll over and go to sleep and would be like, whatever, night, Mom, bye, see you. As soon as my milk came back in, he literally thought it was open season. He was just like, all right, yes, I'm going to have all the milk, and that is how it's going to be. And my oldest wanted to nurse like he was a newborn. And I think that that's where I ended up getting really, I think that's when I got met with like being touched out for the first time. Like, I felt touched out or felt just annoyed my first time around to have like my bad days or whatever. But with my second, having two little humans grabbing at me, wanting to nurse, wanting my attention, needing me, wanting to be literally like inside my body because that's how they feel comfortable, made me feel like my skin was gonna crawl because I was so touched out, I was so tired, and I was just trying to navigate how to get into a new routine with two babies. And I had to do it all by myself. Like, my husband had to go to, like, I came home on, I think, a Saturday or a Sunday. I'm pretty sure it was a Saturday. And my husband was home for the Sunday. And on the Monday, he had to go back to work. And so it was just me and the two boys. And I was like, all right, we need to figure this out. And I could not walk very far because it felt so weird because they cut your stomach muscles. And I was always worried about what if I get too far and then I fall and I hurt myself. And so getting over my fear of that was like a big obstacle for me because, again, I have two little humans that were there, and I was just like trying to learn how to navigate motherhood, being a mom of two under two and being a mom that had to do it all herself because I had lots of family around, but everybody had a job to be at or school to be at or responsibilities or whatever, right? And so that's where a doula came in really handy because you get doulas that help you during labor because you have your midwives and your doctors, but you have a doula. And they come in and they help you. They'll do groceries, they'll do your laundry, they will hold your baby if you need to go to the washroom, but all in all, like, they're there for you. They're not coming there to just play with your baby and make you do work. It's kind of like the opposite. Like, they want you to sit on the couch and love your baby and worry about breastfeeding, and they do all of the things. So figuring out how to navigate motherhood with two under two and how to make sure everyone was taken care of, it was a bit of a hiccup at first, but I think because I've done daycare before, I was used to having two kids around. And so it was more kind of just doing like little adjustments here and there. But at the end of August, I ended up completely just cutting off my oldest from breastfeeding because it just became too much. I was so touched out. I was so tired. He ended up going from sleeping through the night to wanting to wake up and nurse. And it just became far too much. And something needed to change, and the easiest thing for me to change was to just tell him that he couldn't have his milkies anymore. That's what we called it, milkies, right? So he would bring his water bottle to bed, and that's what he would use. So, and I remember when I decided to breastfeed and made that commitment, how difficult it was, this because like we're going through like the Christmas and New Year's and all that stuff, how difficult it was to navigate. Can I have a drink of wine? Can I have a beer? Am I allowed to? And it was so nice to have a doula and having different support systems that I could, that said like, I'm allowed to have a glass of wine at Christmas, and I'm allowed to have a glass of a beer or have a beer if I want to, and not to feel like ashamed, because there's a lot of like misinformation out there that makes you feel like a shitty parent if you decide to have a glass of wine and you're breastfeeding. So it's getting better now, but I know that back in the day it was kind of like, oh my god, she's having a drink, she's a terrible mother, oh my god. Yeah, no, that's not a thing. You're allowed to have a drink if you choose to. And so having the boys and then deciding to discontinue breastfeeding with my oldest, it was a definite adjustment, because then I ended up finding that I couldn't just go and sit down and breastfeed my youngest. I had to wear him in a sling. And so my first, I wore him in a sling quite a bit. Like, Mason lived in a sling, but my youngest, he lived in a sling from like the minute that we got out of the hospital. Like, I have pictures of me and him out back, and he's like 2 days old and he's in a sling. And that's how, because if I sat down to nurse him in a rocking chair or on a couch, my oldest would come over and would want to nurse as well. So doing all of this stuff, I felt like it was the first time I ever really felt like I fucking wanted to just like rip my hair out, to be honest with you, because everyone talks about like it's magical and these babies are beautiful, and they are, it's magical and the babies are beautiful, but no one talks about the fact that like your boobs are leaking all the time, and like the copious amounts of food you want to eat because you're producing all this food for a little human. Because Bronson, when with him, he is a hardcore like boob baby. Like he honest to God, he did not want anything to do with food till he was probably close to a year old. As soon as he hit 6 months old, we decided to do baby led weaning, where it's like you give them just what you're eating. And Bronson wanted nothing to do with it. He was like, nope, I'm good. He would just kind of play with it and throw it. Mason, on the other hand, man, he was ripping my plate off the table at 6 months old. He was like, give me the food now. I want the food. And it's just like, it's so interesting seeing the two different like personalities of my kids. So I'm totally enjoying and like soaking up that time with my youngest, because like we are not having any more babies. So we're kind of soaking up all the little moments with our youngest, because once he's out of the baby stage and out of like the needing mommy and daddy stage and doing all that stuff, like he's going to be a toddler, which he already is. He's 18 months old. But when he gets to be 3 years old, it's just kind of, I think it's going to be bittersweet. I think we're going to be like, oh my goodness, we want another baby. But in all actuality, like, we don't want another baby. Babies are cute when they're tiny and they are a sack of potatoes, and you can put them in their little bouncy chairs or swings or whatever the hell, and they want to like coo and be happy about whatever. And then you get 3 years old and they're just miserable. Like, I'm dreading it. I'm so dreading it, because it's coming. My 18-month-old has been throwing some serious hissy fits lately, and I'm at a complete loss. Like, I'm telling him, I'm like, okay, well, when you're done throwing a fit, you know, mommy's right here, and so you can come find me, and then, like, we can hug it out or something, right? So it's going to be, I think, really difficult to transition him to no more breastfeeding, which, again, like, I'm all about him weaning himself and getting himself off of the breast milk, but it's going to be really hard. I don't know how I'm going to do it, because with my oldest, like I said, my milk dried up and it was a godsend. Yeah, I was upset, but in all actuality, like it was like the best thing that could have happened for us, because he started sleeping better, means I started to sleep better. And now that I have gotten a job driving school bus, I have to be at work in between 7:30. And so I feel like when I go for my 2 weeks of training, that my youngest is going to slowly start to wean, because I'm going to be gone for 8 hours a day. And so I think that he's going to stop being so interested in it, and then maybe it will start to like move. Or with my luck, to be honest, he'll probably just like not breastfeed all day, and then he'll just be breastfeeding all night because I'm not around. That's probably what's going to happen, to be quite frank with you. So it's the first time that I will have had a job out of the house since having kids, because I have been doing daycare. I started doing daycare when I was pregnant with Mason. Now, mind you, I did daycare beforehand, but it was more I was doing nannying, or I was like, yeah, I was basically being a nanny. I would work for families, or I would get other jobs. Like I worked in a kitchen, or did dietary aid cooking at a retirement home. So this is gonna be my first time in almost 4 years that I have worked outside of the house, and my anxiety is through the roof. Like I'm so stressed out. I don't know how to even deal with it because I have never left the kids for 7 hours for 2 weeks straight. Because once I'm done my training, then the kids can come to work with me, which is like my only godsend. Like that's the only thing that's gonna get me through doing training is, okay, they can come to work with me, right? But we also have this like big, heavy cloud over us right now because my husband very well could, because he's currently in transition because one of his people that he works for has taken half of their company and they've shipped it overseas. So he's working from home now. And so he very well could be having to get a job doing something else out of the house. And I think it's stressing me out thinking that if I'm going to go through all of this, I'm going to get my license, I'm going to get a job, we're a one car family. And if he gets a job and it's in a different city, then it's going, I'm not going to be able to work and do my school bus driving. So I'm like, I'm having a really difficult time. If you really want to know what's been going on with me, if you follow me on social media, I haven't really been on too much because I've been having a really hard time. There's a lot of other things, like a lot of other moving parts that have been going on, but the stress and the mom guilt and the honest to God anxiety attacks of leaving the house, making like the stress of, okay, are they going to be okay? And yes, they'll be with their dad. They're going to be okay. But it doesn't change the fact that they've only ever been with me, right? So I'm the one that wakes up with them. If they wake up at 5 o'clock, I'm up at 5 o'clock. There's no, I get to sleep in till 9 o'clock. If they have a nap throughout the day, I don't have a nap because I don't, they're napping. So I'm going to start supper, or I'm going to clean up, or I'm going to wash the floor, or I'm going to do whatever. Right. And so I think there's a lot of, a lot of fear, and I'm really stressed out about the whole thing. And I kudos to all the working moms out there that like had to go back when their kids were super, super young. And I know there's lots of moms out there that want to go back to work. They don't want to stay home. Whereas me, I'm like, I want to stay home with them. And if I could do daycare like I've been doing, and I could be stable and secure in my job, it wouldn't be such a problem. But it's such a stressful situation being a daycare provider, running your own business, and you are at the mercy of the people that or that like you are taking care of their kids. So if they decide to come on a Monday, Tuesday, and then on a Wednesday they decide, oh, well, this isn't going to work for us, or we lost a job and we can't come starting today, then that screws us, right? Like, I don't have benefits. Tom does, but like, it would be nice to have my own benefits. I'm not paying in to my old age pension. And so like, it's, again, it's a lot of moving parts, and I'm really trying to figure out what is the best option for us, because I know going out and working and doing things and being like a productive part of society, which I am doing when I'm running a daycare, I'm taking care of the most important people on the entire earth, which are little kids. But it's such an underappreciated job. It's like people don't understand how difficult and how stressful and how much work you put into taking care of kids day in and day out, because you end up like, they're like your extension of your family, right? And it feels like I'm kind of in between a rock and a hard place, because I don't want to go to work. I don't want to do the 2 weeks of training, because I want to soak up this last year with my oldest, because he's going to school in September, and I want to work on a lot of his stuff for school, like his like doing letters and alphabets and writing his name and doing all that stuff. And I know that driving a school bus, I only work for 4 hours. I work 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the afternoon. So I'm not going to be gone all day, and they will be with me all the time. But it's just, I think all the uncertainty and all the what ifs and what have yous like stress me out. And again, I don't know how the working moms do it, because I don't know how I'm going to get through the 2 weeks of training, because I'm absolutely terrified. And I'm probably just rambling on here, but that's the honest to God truth. I'm absolutely terrified and I don't know what to do. I want to make the right decision and I want to make sure that my kids are taken care of and everything is good. But I also want to make sure that that I'm here for them, because I am all that they have ever known for their entire like existence on earth, which has not been very long. My oldest has been on earth for literally 3.5 years. My youngest has been on earth for 18 months. And for their entire lives, they have only known me. And since moving, like our routine has gone through the roof. Like everything's just nothing. Like we're all just so out of whack and nothing has been put back to normal. And I think that's another like added stress, because it's not like we are back into our normal swing of things and we're back into the same routine. Like my son has completely like regressed in potty training. He was 100% potty trained before we moved. And then we moved, and because a big change or a big life event that can cause kids to regress and start having potty issues, which it has. He's still using the potty, but he chooses to sometimes not pee in the potty and he chooses to pee his pants, which can be kind of frustrating for everybody involved, because you know that he isn't doing it on purpose, but you're also sick and tired of doing 18 loads of laundry every day. Not actually 18 loads, but you get the picture, right? So yeah, that's kind of what's been going on. I originally had a podcast all half recorded for today, and my son walked in and he interrupted me, which is, that is life, right? You can't stop life from happening. And so I paused it and then I came back and it was gone. So we had to restart all over again. And this is a completely different topic than what my first one was about. But here we are. I don't even know how long I've been gabbing to you guys, but it's something that's going on with me right now, and it's really stressful, and I wanted to share it with you guys, because I know there's a lot of different women out there that are working and that are stressed out, and just know that you're not alone, and you're going back to work and you don't know what to do. And like, I'm on both ends. I'm a daycare provider, so I deal with all the scary moments of the new moms going to work, and then I'm also potentially going to be becoming the working mom, but thankfully I'm able to bring my kids with me, so I can understand it from both perspectives. It's just, it's really something that I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around, and I'm hoping that everything works out and everything goes the way I want it to, and that I don't end up regretting it, because I know we only got one life and you can't be living your life in regret, but I don't want to be disappointed in myself for making the wrong decision. So I think that is going to be the end of this episode, and I hope that everybody has a wonderful Sunday night and is prepared for New Year's Eve. We are going to be probably playing Battleship and watching TV and most likely going to bed before midnight, because that's what parents do when you have little ones. So again, I hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Sunday night, and we will be back here in the new year in 2020. So happy new year, guys.